You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Garibaldi Reds, a Nottingham Forest podcast on this fine Monday morning. As the sun shines through my window, I have finally calmed down after the game on Saturday, as Forest narrowly lost in the last minute to a Darwin Núñez header, thanks to a Paul Tierney assist. To discuss a battling performance, one win in nine in all competitions, and the post-match anger, joined first of all by Reds correspondent Sarah Clapson and lifelong Forest fan and regular to the podcast now, Steve Bennett. Good morning to you both. Sarah, let's start with... Yes, good morning. Let's start with you. Just sum up kind of the game for us and how you were feeling, because that's probably the angriest I've been at a Forest game in a very long time.
I think it was... There was certainly a lot of frustration you could sense around the whole stadium at full time. I don't think I can remember seeing scenes like it. There was practically steam coming off the stands. It was remarkable, really. And it was so frustrating because Forest played really well, really, really good performance. And looked for all the world like they were going to get at least a point from it, should have got at least a point from it, arguably should have had more. And then just that bit at the end, the referee decision was really, really frustrating. But I think also you can't pin it all on that. Forest had chances, should have taken them, could have cleared the ball for the goal. So as much as there is a lot of frustration around the refereeing decision, I think in the cold light of day, Forest will look back at it and they'll analyse it. They'll analyse the performance, then analyse the good bits, the bad bits. And I think there'll be a kind of feeling that, yes, that decision played a big part in it, and they've every right to be frustrated and angry. And there certainly was a lot of that at full time. But I think also they will look at it and think, we should have been in front before then. They should have scored. They should have got a goal. Should have cleared the ball. So I think once they look at it in the cold light of day, that frustration will still be there. But they'll also think, well, we could have avoided that in some senses.
Yeah, they certainly could have. We are live on Facebook and YouTube, Nottingham Forest News and Garibaldi Red. So be sure to get your comments in and we will discuss them throughout. Grab a coffee and join us on this Monday morning. Steve, that's a very good point that Sarah makes. And normally on the podcast, I'll try and touch on the the game first and then actually talk about the refereeing performance, because, you know, it's quite a common factor that we're talking about referees influencing Forest games. But when you do look at the decision, I mean, you weren't there at the game, Steve, but I'm sure you watched it and watched it back and saw the fallout. When you look at that decision, I just can't comprehend how on earth the referee has given the ball back to Liverpool when Forest were the team in possession.
I mean, I think as Mike Dean was heard to say yesterday, wasn't it, on the Sunday game, you know, it was a monumental error. But I think Paul Taylor has summed it up perfectly in his headline in The Athletic this morning. Forest have to control the controllables. So if a referee makes an error, a referee makes an error. But as Sarah's just said, we had chances. I did watch the game. We had chances, numerous chances to score. Alanga was through one-on-one. Alanga, you know, put it just wide of the post. Origi's shot, Gibbs White's shot towards the end of the game. We had chance to clear the ball from that corner. You could argue maybe Toffolo needn't have given away the corner. These are all things that were within our control. If we'd done any of those a little bit better, so then you come down to, dare I say, the Billy Davies sort of small margins sort of stuff, then we'd have certainly drawn the game and possibly won the game, and the whole mood around the club and the mood on the foot on this podcast and everything else would be completely different. Yes, Paul Tierney made an unbelievable error and it was a mistake, and no doubt we'll get another apology from the PGMOL, and no doubt there'll be some sanctions against Paul Tierney. But you can't do anything about it. And once that decision has been made, then Forest have to manage the game better. And for me, it's a reoccurring theme that we need to manage the games better. We need to take our chances. We need to defend better. And there's something about, I don't know, is it concentration? You know, the away game at Villa, that mistake in the second half when it was 3-2 and we got to 4-2, the cup game against Man United in the week, the last-minute winner from Casemiro because his run wasn't followed and Danilo didn't quite get there in time. These are tiny, tiny margins, but they could result in it being, you know, a really painful season for us.
Yeah, it certainly could. Kieran says, fed up of getting robbed every week by Annette referees and VAR. We must have been done at least 12 points. Should have defo cleared the ball. I think kind of that's probably one thing that Nuno's thinking. Tony says the team need to put a little bit more effort in. We are now in a relegation battle and substitutes need to be brought on earlier. Fresh legs, the players are getting tired and lacking concentration. We'll touch on that in a moment, but I kind of wanted to stay on the referee error. And for those that didn't see it or kind of don't understand, I've tried to kind of break it down in simple terms. So 97th minute, Callum Hudson-Odoi has possession of the left-hand side of the pitch. Forrest about to launch another attack. Paul Tierney then stops play to allow a treatment to a possible head injury for Liverpool. Tierney then gives Liverpool the ball back. And there's a photo actually released last night circulating on social media where the fourth official is actually pointing to the referee where the ball should be dropped to Forrest. Liverpool go down the other end and score, albeit about a minute later. And there was many chances to clear it. But I often think, Sarah, this whole potential, you know, people talk about maybe a narrative against the lower league clubs, shall we say, and without teams outside of the top six. And you can understand why people question that, given the amount of decisions that Forest have had against us. And, you know, yes, we can't blame referees if we get relegated, but we can blame a lot of points being lost from referees and refereeing mistakes, can't we?
Yeah, I think that probably contributed to the whole feeling of anger and frustration at the end, that it wasn't the first time that it had happened, that there's been several times already this season where Forest feel hard done by. And that was the latest one. And I think that was kind of contributed to the owner being really frustrated, the manager being really frustrated, the players being frustrated at the end, that it's happened quite regularly. That I think you summed it up quite well, that it was the wrong decision. We spoke to Mark Clattenburg afterwards, who's obviously acting in an advisory role now, and he pretty much explained the rules to us, as you just did, that Paul Tierney got it wrong. It's so frustrating to be talking about referees so often, talking about VAR so often. I guess it's something that I guess we've already touched on it a little bit, that Forest can't dwell on it. They can't have this sense of it's happening every week, but writing to the PGMOL, hoping for expecting an apology. They have to put all that behind them. They have to focus on what they can do and focus on the performances and trying to find that extra little bit. The referee obviously didn't help on Saturday, hasn't helped a few times already this season. And it's difficult not to dwell on it. And I know we're all guilty of talking about it a lot and focusing on it and how big a contribution it was to the game. But Forest have to quickly forget about it and put it to one side, because if you have that sense of we're going to get, you know, we might get done over again by the referee, or we might get on the wrong end of VAR again, you have to focus on what you can do. I'm sure that'll be what Nuno is telling these players. The best thing that Forest can do after that is internalise the anger and use it in the right way. Go out there at the weekend and be so frustrated that they want to put it right and get a result on Sunday. Channel it in the right kind of way. That's all they can really do.
Yeah, we talk about a siege mentality a lot with the points deduction. So potentially a siege mentality with kind of the referees and VAR that seem to just be going against Forest. Steve, we will move on from it in a minute, and we will try and, you know, I was actually playing a podcast yesterday and I was thinking, what else is there to talk about other than the referee? So we will move on. But when I look at referees and the constant errors, and this isn't just for Forest, this is on a wider level in terms of if we're talking about English football, refereeing is probably at its worst standard in a very long time, if not ever. And it just surprises me that the FA haven't almost done more about it for a start. And also, we see the likes of it, and it's an odd comparison. It'd be interesting to hear what you have to say. But when you look at teams going out and signing players and wonder kids from foreign leagues and European leagues, why can't the FA look at doing that in terms of the referees? Go and scout some referees that seem to be really, really good and not have to deal with Paul Tierney. I just don't understand it, and I don't understand why the FA haven't done anything about it up until this point, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse every week.
Have you ever tried to be a referee, Max?
Do you know what? I ref twice, Stephen. It was a difficult job, but given that these referees are on a Premier League level with a Premier League wage, I kind of expect that they'd be in a bit of a better standard sometimes.
So let's put the first thing. The wage is irrelevant. I mean, we're talking about quality of individuals here. It doesn't matter how much they get paid. I tried to be a referee for my lad when he was, you know, 11, 12 or something. It's a complete nightmare at that level. So imagine, and I'm not excusing Paul Tierney in any sense of the word for his error, but imagine trying to be a referee in front of 29,000 baying fans with all that pressure and everything else going on. It's fascinating for me personally. I mean, two comments. First of all, we can't change history. So what's done is done. And what Forest have to look at is the next 11 games and make sure they get the most out of that. But on a second point, I've recently just rejoined the Forest Supporters Trust board. And as part of that, very, very fortunate, I've got involved in some conversations very, very early stage. So can't really say too much. And it's not secret, but just can't say too much because I've not had many meetings with the FA, with the Premier League, with other trusts, and getting a gauge of how other trusts and other fans from other clubs are thinking about referees and referees' performance. And it's really interesting from my perspective that there's a huge pride being reported from the referees in terms of what they do, how they do it, very conscious of how they affect the game, very conscious of how they affect fans' weekends and everything else and midweeks. None of them, in the same way as the players, none of them go out there to try and make a mistake. None of them go out there to get something wrong. They're all trying to do their absolute best. We could all comment about individual performances. We could all comment about VAR. And the system is far from perfect. But I come back to Paul Taylor's comment. We can't control any of that. All we can control as a football club is the way that our players play. Let's look back on the game, both against United and against Liverpool. There were some really good passages of play from Forest in both of those games. We created some really good chances. Nuno seems to be getting the team to play. He's got a plan of how he wants to play. The players are subscribing to that. There's nobody shirking responsibilities, I don't think. There's nobody going missing. The players know what they're doing. We could have been sitting here today and going, blimey, we've got the quarterfinal of the FA Cup to look forward to, and we're now 7 points clear of Luton in the relegation zone. We're not because we didn't take some chances and because we didn't concentrate in the last few minutes and lost goals. It's really, really fine margin stuff. So I'd rather the conversation be about how do we look at the future? How do we look at the next 11 games? What can we put right in those next 11 games to make sure that the next time that we're here, the three of us chatting about the weekend or whatever, we can go, that was good, wasn't it? And look at that goal and look at that move and that sort of stuff, because it's completely and utterly in our own hands.
Final point about the referee. Previously, I know I've said move on, but final point. Previous instances, sometimes it's been subjective. So maybe a referee has thought something and manager, players have thought, well, we don't think that's right. This one, it was a point of law. And I think that's what is particularly frustrating, that it's written in the law, it's in the rules. What should happen? The rules were not applied. I think that is what is particularly annoying from Forest's perspective. Previously, you can argue, well, maybe the referee saw things differently or VAR saw things differently, and it's subjective. This one, it wasn't, and that's what makes it different.
I wouldn't defend him, Sarah, but I'm sure Paul Tierney can go on the pitch going, right, at some stage in this game, I'm going to break the rule and give Liverpool an advantage. And even if that did happen, which was a completely wrong decision, if you look at that corner, Toffolo could have not given away the corner. I don't want to isolate any player at all. Hudson-Odoi could have cleared the ball. Awoniyi could have cleared the ball. We could have defended the header better and got most of the chance. So there's lots of tiny little things in there that could have prevented Nunez scoring, irrespective of the huge error that Paul Tierney made. And we'd have come away from the game going, we just held potentially the league champions to a 0-0 draw. That's fantastic. And that's a real springboard. And it was 30 seconds away from doing that. So the difference between the anger and the furore on Saturday and real excitement is so tiny, but we've got to focus on the positives and the good bits going forward. Otherwise, where does the season end? We can't spend the next 11 games going, oh, well, if Paul Tierney hadn't made that mistake against Liverpool, we'd have a point more and therefore we're not going to get relegated. It's in our hands.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
No more ref now.
I'm gonna close on a few points. Not that I'm sad or anything, but that's 8 refereeing errors if you count that for Forest. I won't break them down and list them, at 7 of which the PJMOL have actually admitted and apologised to Forest. So that, I think, says everything you need to know. And I do agree in a sense, Steve, about how we have to control the controllables. But I think my point actually back to about clearing the ball was that Toffolo wouldn't have had to clear that ball if Forest would have been dropped the ball and it wasn't given to Liverpool. That is, I think, the point that people are arguing. Let's just quickly touch on the Marinakis and the Clattenburg situation. And we saw Marinakis kind of out on the pitch at full time, and there was various reports that he chased Tierney down the tunnel. I think that they're completely incorrect from what's been released yesterday as well. When you look at Clattenburg, Sarah, and you had a chance to speak to him, and they kind of put him up in a kind of a media mix zone, they call it, where all the media can have a chance to interview him. And for me, Clattenburg, I think that if this was an appointment that Man United made or Liverpool to have a referee analyst, it would be hailed as a remarkable thing and a very clever tactics from the owners. Whereas for me, it seems like Forest are just getting a lot of kind of flack almost for having someone that, you know, can potentially advise the owners on what to do and Nuno, and also be there to speak to the media and actually break down a decision of why this has happened.
Yeah, I'll be honest, it was quite useful being able to speak to him after Saturday, because I didn't know the rules. I know I'm not a referee, so I you know, maybe can have a little bit of a leeway with that rather than Paul Tierney. But he explained it, and he said what should have happened, what the situation should have been. So it was quite interesting to speak to him in that sense. And he said it was too early when we spoke to him whether an official complaint would be made, but he would definitely speak to the PGMOL, and that's sort of what his role involves as well. It's as a bit of an intermediary between the two. Obviously Forest have complained a few times over decisions that have been made, and Mark Clattenburg's role is to help with relations, to kind of act as a go-between between the club and the PGMOL, and he'll be doing that. He'll be speaking to his former employers after what happened on Saturday, and then a decision will be made about whether an official complaint goes in. I think Forest might be the first in the Premier League to have that kind of role in the club, but I don't think they'll be the last now. I think others will look at it and think, well, maybe it might be useful in some senses to have somebody there that he prepares pre-match packages. And you can argue, well, is it going to make any difference? Forest are still getting wrong decisions, or Forest are still having things that go against them. But I think having somebody there just to explain, well, this is what should have happened, or maybe this is why the referee did this, or when you come up against this referee, he has a tendency to do this. If you're talking about fine margins and marginal gains in relegation fights or in any other context, then it kind of makes sense a little bit, I think. I guess whether it makes any difference at the end of the season, it's impossible to say. But I think Forest feel that they've had so many decisions go against them. They see it as an important area, and they've obviously looked to Mark Clatterberg, somebody that the owner knew from his time in Greece, and thought, well, why not? And I'm sure others will look at it now and probably think, well, yeah, why not?
I think you're right. I think if United or Liverpool or City had done it, it would have been highly praised. The difficulty is we've done it because it's perceived we've had difficulties with the refs. But actually, if you go back to the control of the controllables, it's an inspired decision. Because if he's able to say to the team or say to Nuno a few days before a game, this is the ref you've got, this is how this ref behaves, this is what he looks for, this is what he doesn't look for, then it has to be an advantage. I mean, think of how many times do we get the Ryan Yates free kick? Right, it isn't really a free kick, but he gets lent on, he falls over, leans on the ball, and we get a free kick. It's a master tactic. Not every referee is going to allow Ryan Yates to get away with that for 90 minutes. Mark Clattenburg will know that and be able to say to Ryan and the team, here's a game you can do it, here's a game actually you can't do it as much because the referee is going to book you. And if he books you in the first 20 minutes, then you've got an issue for the rest of the game. So it's a masterstroke. I mean, and the club should be really praised for it. But the difficulty is it'll be seen in the context of Willy Bolly getting sent off at against Bournemouth and the other seven things that you can list. But actually, let's think of it as a positive in terms of how it can help the next 11 games. Because that's the club's focus. That's our focus. As a fan, I can't do anything about the last 27 games. I can only give as much support as possible in the next 11, providing I can get a ticket. That's a whole different issue. Let's not go on to that on this podcast. But that's the important stuff. I want to be able to go to Burnley on the last game of the season, knowing that we've got a really good chance of still being in the Premier League next season. And if Mark Clattenburg helps that, brilliant.
Yeah, No, I completely agree. We will move on. Let me just read some comments out there quickly. This one says, it's not good enough, but the concept of it's happened, move on, is laughable. It's their job. If I do my job poorly, there are consequences and accountability. With refs, there are none of that. This one, agree, we're drifting into a sea of negativity, which is not going to get us anywhere. Need to look forward to and win the points. And just finally on this one, Nigel says, move on. It's about taking chances and choices of final pass, which are poor often, which leads me nicely onto my next point about not the referee, but potentially about just the kind of, again, maybe silly errors, fine margins in the game. And Steve, let's actually, you can kick us off on kind of this bit. Given the game on Saturday before the whole referee controversy, I just thought that Forrest kind of lacked that final ball at times, and passing was a little bit sloppy, and also, you know, just final products. Taiwo had chances, and Alanga had two clear that really could have probably won Forrest the game even.
You mean the game against Liverpool?
But
again, are we going to slate Alanga because he didn't score in the same way as we're slating Tierney because he made a mistake? No, we're going to support Alanga because he got into that position and had that opportunity and had that chance, and we're going to praise the team for creating that opportunity. So there's double standards, aren't there, in a way? And Alanga's done what? Scored five, got seven assists, and looks an absolute bargain at the 15 million we paid United. I mean, rather have him than Garnacho or Anthony, for heaven's sake. But these chances have to be taken because it is a game of really, really fine margins. You know, there hasn't been a game this season I can think of where we've run away with it. There hasn't been a game really over the last two years when we've run away with it. But that's the difficulty of playing in the Premier League and being a club that's very early back in the Premier League and is the second most inexperienced team in the Premier League other than Luton, because everybody else has had more years in it than we have. So if we get the points we need, unless, you know, I don't know whether you want to talk about the potential points deduction or whatever, but if we get the points we need to stay up, what an achievement. You know, this we'll have gone past the second year syndrome that so many clubs suffer from and be able to look forward to a third year in the Premiership and maybe another cup run and a League Cup run and have a bit more stability and all that sort of exciting stuff. But yeah, fine margins. We've got to take chances. We've got to defend better. We've got to be more battling in midfield. The team selection's got to be right. The supporters have got a huge part to play. For me, I mean, I've been coming down to the City Ground for, goodness me, a lifetime. And the atmosphere has never been as good as it was, probably in the Championship, you know, the year we got promoted 2 years ago, but then particularly last year. My instinct is this year there's almost been an expectation that, oh, it's the second year, we'll be fine. And there hasn't been, I don't think, the same level of support, the same level of passion down at the ground. The players, the club, the management, everybody around the club, they're going to need that for the next few home games towards the end of the season, because, you know, that classic cliche of being the 12th man, that 12th man is absolutely essential, both home and away, for those next 11 games towards the end of the season, to get as many points as we can to make sure that we don't finish, let's speculate, below Sheffield United, Burnley or Luton.
Yeah, no, spot on. And I think the atmosphere, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I suppose if Forest were winning every week, the atmosphere would be good. But then you just don't know, because, as you said, Steve, that there's that expectation and maybe the whole almost surprise.
But we didn't win every week last year, Max, and the atmosphere was amazing almost every game.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's more of a surprise factor that's gone, Steve. Is that are the fans kind of not enjoying the occasions, such as against Liverpool or Man United at home? I mean, we've played Liverpool and Man United in the space of 3 days. I keep mentioning it, but compare that to seasons have gone by against Rotherham and Blackburn on a Tuesday and Wednesday night, then you'd expect the atmosphere to be right up there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. How can you not get excited about playing Man United on a Wednesday and then Liverpool on a Saturday? I mean,
well, it depends if Paul Turney's the ref.
You know, those are the things that you know that fans dream of, aren't they? Really? Yeah. I mean, much more exciting, as you say, than playing Rotherham and Blackburn. No disrespect to either of them, but yeah, much more exciting. And the clubs earned that. And you know, the fans have earned that. But it doesn't stop just to go, all right, well, we've earned that, fine, right, we can all sit back now and everything will be fine, because that support is still desperately needed, even more so now.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Sarah, given the kind of busy week that Forest have had, you go from playing Villa and then big cup game against Man United and then Liverpool, almost a chance to breathe now. How do you assess the last week? And for me, it isn't a negative. Yes, we've lost all three, but we held United for 88 minutes. We held Liverpool for 90
plus 98 minutes.
98 minutes. And Villa, we showed a bit of fight. So for me, there is a bit of, you know, there is a bit of positivity to kind of have.
I think there's a lot to be encouraged by. I think if you look at the performances, there are definitely positives to take. There's certainly some really good individual displays we've seen. Collectively on Saturday, I thought, we mentioned it, but for 98 minutes, Forest defended brilliantly. The partnership of Murillo and Omobamadeli, I thought, was excellent. They threw themselves in front of everything, bodies on the line, made some big blocks. Really, really good, considering how young they are. I know we've spoken about it before, but how they're two young, relatively inexperienced centre-backs. I thought they were excellent against the league leaders, did really, really well. Ryan Yates and Nicolas Dominguez in front of them, they were a really effective shield. I know maybe gave away a few too many free kicks. We've mentioned Ryan Yates, but generally, I thought they did an excellent job. It is just the fine margins. We've spoken about it. It's that final ball sometimes. It's the end product. It's the finish. The lack of concentration at the end, it is just small, small details. But in the Premier League, those things can be costly. You only need one mistake, one error, one lapse, and you get punished for it. Nuno mentioned it on Saturday. It was a repeat, really, of the Manchester United game in midweek. Play so well, have chances, don't take your opportunities, and then are left to rue them at the end because you get punished in the final minutes. And that's always the risk. If you don't take those opportunities against Premier League opposition, final minutes, there's always the chance that they'll hit you. Obviously, that's happened twice in successive games. But I think generally there is a lot to be positive about, a lot to be encouraged by. Keep playing like that. And you'd like to think that Forest will pick up points. It's wins, really, that are going to be important at the minute. Some huge games coming up. Brighton is going to be difficult, but then a couple of home games that you look at and think Forest have really got to go into them and believe that they can get something, get the wins, because home form is going to be vital.
Yeah, I've just seen this comment, actually. It's made me laugh, from Tony. Being a Forest fan is hard work and exciting sometimes for the wrong reasons. However, if we survive, wow, against all the odds. Yeah, I agree with that. And it is hard being a Forest fan sometimes, but that's why we do it. You mentioned Omobamadeli there, Sarah. Steve really impressed me again. And you look at him, that's not that Steve Cooper didn't give him a chance, but Nuno came in and played him in the cup competitions and more the replays, and then almost bedded him into the first team. I look at his stats from Saturday's game: 8 clearances, 2 off the line, and an 80% pass accuracy. I mean, what have you made to him? I think he's been another kind of solid player for Forest, and again showing, I think, you know, forget all the corruption talk, forget all the referee talk. There is positives in this Forest side currently, and you've got players like Omobamadeli that really are finding form at the minute.
I think he's done really, really well. I mean, I've, you know, watched him in all the cup games. He looks a solid player for a kid, let's be honest. I mean, him and Murillo, it's potentially an incredible partnership. They've got height, they've got speed, they've got skill. He's done really, really well. As Sarah said, we have some really good players. potentially we have a really good side, a really good team. You know, again, on Saturday, there's still the three players missing from AFCON. So where does Sangare fit in, assuming that, you know, he gets back in and then he gets to play in the position that he was bought for? So there are lots of positives, but we've got to deliver. Because if we don't deliver, then we're all going to be looking at the end of the season. And we can't blame, you know, if we get relegated, we can't blame it on referees. You can't blame it on anything other than performances on the pitch, because we haven't scored the goals and we've let in more goals than we meant to. But yeah, he's played really well. I mean, Toffolo's resurgence at left back is incredible, considering, you know, he was, let's be honest, he was bought as the make weight in the Lewis O'Brien deal. And was bought quickly because there was a problem over Omar Richards. Nico Williams' resurgence at right back. I mean, he's now playing in the position that I think we originally bought him for, which was an attacking right back, you know, along the lines of sort of, you know, he's the closest we've had to replacement to Matty Cash, that sort of player. When does Chris Wood come back, which will give us an extra bit of strength up front and give us a bit of difference up front? There's options in midfield. We've got some really good players. We've got potentially a really good team. We're not, I believe, a relegation team once we get ourselves sorted out. This is a team that has the potential to be, I don't know, between 10th and 14th. Whether we're going to manage that this season is perhaps unlikely for a variety of reasons. But providing we can survive this year, then why can't we be optimistic about the future?
Yeah, exactly. And I think with Nuno and some good players, it's a positive time to be a Forest fan for getting the points deduction that maybe
which you can't, unfortunately, can you? Because it's going to have a huge impact on the season. You know, Sarah, you point about a few of the games. The biggest game of the season is not the one on Sunday. It's a week on Saturday away at Luton. Who would have thought at the beginning of this season we'd be going in saying the single biggest game of the season is going to be away at Luton? But that's the reality. You know, if whatever deduction we get, let's make the assumption that we get penalised the same as Everton, so we get a six point deduction. Let's make that assumption. We have to beat Luton because then we're still a point above them. If we lose to Luton, then it's really difficult to stay up because there's only 11 games left. So it's an absolutely incredible game.
Yeah, and Sarah as well. It's a huge job for the players, and they are professionals. But for Nuno to motivate the players to go away to Luton, and I know we've kind of got Brighton first, but to go away to Luton, you know, and a difficult place to go. I can remember, Steve, when we went in the championship with Cooper, and when we lost that game, we came out very frustrated. But it's a difficult place to go. And
that was all about refereeing decisions, man.
It was. I can remember it.
You know, the goal and, yeah.
Let's not go there. Sarah, so how... And it's a difficult question, but... You just wonder how on earth Nuno kind of motivates the player. And we touched on it earlier, but maybe using this siege mentality of the refereeing decisions, of the points deduction, of almost everyone's against us. So let's go out there and kind of fight, basically.
Yeah, I think that served Everton well. When they got their initial points deduction, they had that. And look where it got them, albeit they might get another one now. I think that it's all about having the right kind of mentality and the right attitude and the right focus. Talk about it a lot, about shutting out the noise, and that's something that Nuno regularly makes a point about. Again, it's something that Forest, that the players can't control. They can't do anything about what happens in terms of points deductions or about what might happen in the hearing. It's not, the instability isn't good, don't get me wrong. I mean, everybody wants it to be sorted as soon as possible, not just Forest, throughout the whole league, because it has implications for a lot of other teams as well. Everybody wants it done as soon as possible. Nobody can control when that is. So in the meantime, all the players can do, all Nuno can do, is try to pick up as many points as possible so that when a potential points deduction comes, if it does, they're in a decent position. easier said than done. I know it's everybody is a, the players are only human. They'll be aware of what's going on. They'll be sure keeping a keen eye out on the hearing that, that takes place this week. But when they get out on the pitch, I don't think they're focused or thinking about, or maybe this is going to happen. They have to think about what happens next in the game, the next move, the next attack, the next bit of defending that they have to do, because we've seen already a few times that if you're not fully focused for whatever 100 odd minutes in a game, then it can count, it can be costly. So it's all about trying to spin things in the right way, have a positive approach on things, even if the table doesn't look great at the minute, or even if results aren't or going the right way, you have to use it in the in a positive manner. And yeah, again, it's all about what happens on the pitch.
Yeah. Do you think we've got enough to stay up, Steve, even with a points deduction?
I've been thinking about this a lot, Max. I think it's, if we don't get a points deduction, then are we going to get more points to Luton between now and the end of the season? That's what I think it comes down to. And we've got we start off with a 4-point advantage. So I think if we don't get a points deduction, then I think we've got enough to stay up. We've certainly got the players and the team to stay up, but it's about making sure that they perform. If we get a points deduction, I'm a lot more concerned, because I'm making the assumption, it may be completely incorrect, but because Everton have got a 6-point deduction for their 19.5 million, I'm assuming that we've got, you know, our debt was probably under 30, because if we'd sold Brennan Johnson on time, we wouldn't have had the issue. So, you know, it's in the same sort of ballpark, which suggests to me, depending on how they apply the rules and everything else, that, you know, we could get 6 points. So if we get 6 points, we're immediately 2 points below Luton as it stands now. Luton are doing this year exactly what we did last year. They're turning Kenilworth Road into a fortress. They've got all their fans behind them. You know, it's a crazy place to go anyway. Can we outperform Luton by 3 points between now and the end of the season? That's what it comes down to. I've not looked at the fixtures, and I'm not going to, because that would just be scary. But they've got a game in hand as well. So, you know, that might be, if they were to win that, I can't remember who it's against, but if they win that and we get a 6-point deduction, they might be 5 points ahead of us. And at that point, it gets tricky. So it's a long-winded answer to say I don't know. But I think if we don't get a points deduction, we could be okay. But that fixture against Luton a week on Saturday is absolutely crucial to this season. We cannot afford to lose that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the biggest game.
But it's about controlling the controllables. You know, we can go there, we can control the game, we can control the attack, we can control the defence, we can come away with a win, and everybody goes, fantastic, the rest of the season's going to be okay. If we make mistakes, if we don't score goals, it doesn't matter what the ref does. If we don't score goals and we make mistakes at the back and we lose goals and we let Adebayo in again, or we let Ross Barkley run midfield, then we'll struggle. So we can't allow that to happen. Those are the things that we can control.
Yeah, I'm going to name you Control the Controllable, Steve. That's your new nickname. Sarah, let's look ahead to this week. No midweek game. Breathe. So we can have a nice break for a little bit. And then, a big game away at Brighton on Sunday. Again, we're going away from home. It's a bit against all the odds, but Forest have to target that game as a must win.
I don't know about a must win. I think when you go away from home, it's always difficult. Brighton are a really good side. They play really good football. They can be really dangerous. Forest have a lot of threats. The pace of Alanga, that combination with Gibbs White and Callum Hudson-Odoi, they can cause problems for any team. And I think that can be something that Forest have to use on Sunday. I think going away from home, though, is always tricky. But Forest have to look at the likes of that Newcastle game where they went away and got a huge, huge win. So they are capable of it. They're capable of playing really good football. I think Nuno has shown in spells that he can get this team playing really well. Look at some of the play on Saturday, and it was great to watch. Really positive, really good intent, good link-up play, good combinations, and then really solid at the back. So the elements are there. It's putting it all together into one 90-odd minute performance. And away from home particularly, you often have to get everything right. Everybody has to be on it. Everybody has to be at 100%. You can't afford any mistakes. So Forest are certainly capable of it. They're certainly capable of going there and getting a good result. And then the mood changes.
Yeah, I mean, last year we got a really tense 0-0 draw away at Brighton.
Yeah.
In a midweek game, and it changed the season. It was, you know, we were on a bad run. Steve Cooper changed the side. We got the 0-0 draw, got a point. Everybody went, oh, maybe we can. And we did. Yep. So why can't Saturday be the same?
Exactly. Lastly, just to close us, Steve, I'm going to put this one to you. Do you feel sorry for Nuno, given kind of what's happened recently with the referee decisions, with other bits and pieces, with the points deduction, and maybe potentially with the crowd not behind him? I think since Cooper's left, the Forest atmosphere, it has gone downhill. I think it's a bit of an elephant in the room, but I think kind of people need to maybe discuss it more. And I do feel sorry for Nuno that he maybe hasn't got that. He's starting to, but he hasn't got that connection with the supporters on his side yet. And I think it's been a really difficult job for him so far. Do you agree?
I think it's been extremely difficult. But do I feel sorry for him? No. I think the atmosphere was down in comparison to last season before Steve Cooper left. There just was, for me, there was just a bigger expectation coming into the season. You know, we'd done it last year. We knew how to do it. We'd bought some more players. So this year was going to be easier. This is the Premier League. You know, if you stand still, you're going backwards at a huge rate. The relationship that Steve Cooper had with the club, with the fans, with the city was incredible. You know, let's look at, I'm not going to put him in quite the same light, but let's look at the relationship that Klopp's got with Liverpool and the city and everything else. There are similarities. And if Steve Cooper had stayed, 8-9 years, then maybe we'd have been talking about him in the same way. So there's that. You know, that's an element. The league table tells us we're struggling, so that's an element. There's the refereeing decisions, that's an element. And he's a very, very different character to Steve Cooper. I mean, I've not met him. I don't expect I ever will. Sarah will do, and will know more about Nuno, infinitely more about Nuno than I will. And you'll know more, Sarah, about Steve Cooper than I ever will. They're different personalities. So Nuno's... You can't ever imagine him getting angry, or at least I can't. I assume he probably does behind four walls. So, yeah, I think it's a very hard job. But he will have known all of that when he took the job on. There can't have been any secrets. You know, all the stuff around PSR or FFP, depending on how you call it, that will have been known. The club, you know, the club knew they'd breached. So none of this will be a surprise to him. It's his job. That's what he's paid for, to make the best out of it. So it's a very hard job, but we have to put our faith in Nuno and put our faith in the players to do the best possible job and give us survival before we can look forward to next season.
Yes, I like that. That ends us probably quite nicely there. Fingers crossed next week we're not talking about refereeing decisions. Steve, thank you very much, and I hope the knee gets better soon.
Thank you very much.
Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for all your comments as well today. Cheers, mate. Really good discussion. As always, if you did enjoy this episode of Garibaldi Red, leave us a like, share and subscribe on YouTube, a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you did enjoy. We will see you this week for a Brighton preview and a few other bits and bobs as well. Have a great rest of your week, and fingers crossed for no dodgy refereeing decisions next time. Bye-bye.